Good evening and welcome. It's KBC Arts. I'm David Fleming, joined tonight by Ben Jafonik, a.k.a. Ben Stewart, and we are in our fall membership campaign. Check it. First of all, thank you for listening, and thank you for making that next step of being a listening, contributing member. And I'm also thanks to, are we speaking to Ben Stewart or Ben Jafonik at the moment here? Who's stepped through those trousers?
Well, David, stepping in these trousers currently is I, the unstoppable, rhyme droppable, bass in your face like a mace, hip-hop shockable Ben Jafonik.
So here we have Ben Jafonik in studio. And Ben Jafonik was the subject, if you will. He's been a subject for many, many experiments.
Yeah. If you go to grammar school, you'll find me in the subject category of a lot of different things.
Nice.
Yeah. Mostly rhymes.
Well, and that was the focus of our KBC Arts of just a few weeks ago. It was all Ben Jafonik, and you can find that one in our archives, kbcrnews.org/arts, and it's close to the top of the list there. We were looking at his new EP that was set to be released in November, but it turns out we've got some available now.
That's right, David. So for people who are going to be donating during this next hour, we are going to be giving away Ben Jafonik EPs, 5-song EPs, before anyone else can get them. This is a big deal.
It's a big deal indeed. And what we have is, it's called We Stole Hip Hop, and this is what he's doing. Bald geek rapper at his finest. He's taken hip hop and he stole it. And it starts with an admission. He puts it right out there from the get-go on this EP.
That's true. And, you know, I said this before on air, and I should probably do it again. It's that I, Ben Jafonik, did knowingly and willingly steal hip hop. And I'm not giving it back.
Catch me.
Benjaphonic, We Stole Hip Hop. This is the title cut from the EP that is now just out. I'm David Fleming in with Benjaphonic, and coming up in just a moment, Joyce Cooling and her EP out September 20th called Living Out Loud. In the meantime, if you want a copy of We Stole Hip Hop, this EP, this is available with anyone who makes a pledge of at least $60.
And if you go to kvcrnews.org, you're going to be able to make that pledge, or if you call 877-512-8843, you can do it right now.
Today we have Joyce Cooling. She is a jazz guitarist based in San Francisco, California. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Joyce.
Hey, the thanks goes to you. Thank you for having me.
It's going to be 10 years since your last major piece came out, being Global Cooling in 2009. This has been a long time coming. What has this experience been like preparing for this, and what was the journey getting to this new EP?
Well, you know, the aging parent syndrome. My family needed help, and I was the sole caretaker. They're all back east, so I was spending a lot of time back there. Maybe more time back there than I was in my hometown of San Francisco, and often last-minute calls where I needed to get back east quickly, so I didn't feel comfortable signing any contracts to appear anyplace. You know, you didn't want to cancel on people and promoters. That's awfully hard on a festival to do that. So I just figured it was best to just focus on that, and that's what I did. So it was a learning experience, too, and a chance to take a breath, you know, from the music scene. I wasn't taking a breath in other ways. I was actually quite busy, but just let the music thing settle for a bit. And everything worked itself out, and we're back.
So for these songs, you have five in total: Living Out Loud, Marina, Dreams, It's So Amazing, Got to Find My Own Way, and Carry On. What was the songwriting process like for you with these?
I'm still with Jay Wagner, my writing partner, my other musical half. And the writing of them, Jonathan, simple, meaning that's the true joy for me. I love the writing part, and so does Jay. That's my favorite part of the whole process. I don't mean to sound flippant by saying, oh, simple. You know, it's always a process, but I love it so much that it's the most fun for me. So the writing process was really great, as always. Then, you know, it comes time to record, and we've made quite a few changes in our studio setup, so there was a learning curve with gear and technology. You know, that can be frustrating. That's not our favorite thing, neither Jay's nor mine. And, you know, that's always the struggle, learning programs and how do you get it to do this, and updating software and getting rid of almost all of our outboard gear. That might be kind of boring speak for people who don't have a studio or know about it, but I know, you know, anybody with a studio or engineers will certainly know what I mean. But we're getting rid of more and more physical boxes of gear and doing things more internally, which is nice, but again, it's a learning curve.
Yeah.
So the recording, you know, there was some frustrating little bumps there, to be honest with you.
So talking about new equipment, you also have gotten like new guitars and stuff like that as well. I've seen some of that posted on your Facebook page.
Yeah, actually one new guitar, and she's gorgeous. You know, I've always wanted an acoustic nylon guitar, a real professional one. I've had one that I've really loved playing, It's a $30 guitar that my uncle gave our family years and years ago when we were kids. And he always picked out great instruments, no matter what a person's price range was. He always got the best in that price range. And I still love that guitar. I still have it. But this new one is really a luthier down in the central coast of California made it, and it's gorgeous with beautiful woods, and you know, it's the real deal. And it's my very first one of that caliber, and she doesn't leave my side too much.
Did you use that for your EP recording, or?
No, I had to get on a 3-year waiting list to get the guitar.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, he's backed up. Ed, Lester DeVoe is his name, and he should be backed up. He deserves to be backed up with work because he's that special. And this is all he does and all he has done for 40 years.
Wow.
He's the real deal. But at any rate, the guitar was not ready when we finished recording, so
okay.
It'll be on our next batch of stuff.
I remember when I met you. I've played a million songs since that night. But the news I heard by phone today was a song I'd never write. You have been my friend for all these years. Lots of crazy, soulful days. And when I think of being without you, I feel betrayed by how life plays. All I can do now is carry on. Carry on, carry on. Tomorrow is full of promise. I've got to keep my spirit strong. Carry on, carry on. I never will forget you. All I can do now is carry on.
Were there any like specific inspirations for you while you were writing these new songs?
Yeah, you know, there always are. One, you know, not to sound morose, because it's not. The incident is so devastatingly sad. But the song is, I hope, uplifting in spite of the event. And this is something you and I were talking about, NAMI, the mental health thing. A friend of ours committed suicide, and so it's the song Carry On. But, you know, the message is after that, you got to carry on and keep it going, you know, in spite of what happened, you know, the devastating circumstances.
Yeah.
Carry on, carry on. I never ever will forget you. All I can do now is carry on.
Could you tell listeners a little bit about what NAMI is? And you're also talking a little bit beforehand about Fellowship Health Resources. What are those groups and what do they do?
They're both mental health organizations, you know, that work to bring awareness and resources to the mental health issue, which is so prevalent. And there's also one I want to mention called Caminar that's here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I worked with them 4 years ago, something like that. We did a single, and we donated the proceeds from the single to them and worked with them a bit, and they were awesome as well. So those are just three of many organizations that I like. And we also want to affiliate with what we're doing, just kind of good people doing good stuff, you know? Of course, mental health is one of my big focuses, but we're going to expand a little this time and branch out a bit.
What originally got you into this topic of mental health was you had to deal with it personally. Besides, unfortunately, your friend, there was other personal reasons why this topic was so important to you, correct?
Yes, yes, because of my brother. That's my, you know, personal connection to it. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia decades ago when he was a teenager. And, you know, and the stresses on the family. And, of course, back then, there was very little awareness about, you know, you hear the word schizophrenia, and, oh, my God, it's the guy out of Psycho, you know, killing someone in the shower. I mean, it was this horrible, inaccurate Hollywood depiction of, you know, crazy people. And,
yeah.
And so it was frightening, and we just didn't know anything about mental health, you know. So when we got the diagnosis, I mean, we had nowhere to go, really, because nobody was talking about it, you know. And, oh, hush, hush, you have a brother, or in my mother's case, a son with schizophrenia. People kind of back away, you know, back then. We've come a long way. And then someone said, well, there's this organization called NAMI, and thought about it, and they were great. They pulled us through, I tell you. They were solid. We were having meetings at our house, and, you know, moms got really into it. And as a family, we got into it and got to better understand what was going on with my brother. They were a lifesaver, I got to say that.
So, yeah, they really gave your family resources to help you and your family with your brother.
Yep.
That's so awesome.
And they were the only ones that we knew of back then.
Wow.
You know, this was...
Was this like in the...
Fortunately, now there are a lot more organizations, thankfully, that have popped up, and the awareness has really skyrocketed, and bipolar gets understanding, and schizophrenia gets understanding rather than, oh, you know, a shriek of horror, you know.
Yeah.
It's so prevalent that everybody has been touched by this, whether it's in their own family or they know someone else, or, geez, I mean, do you want to start on the homeless population?
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of those. Yeah, you know, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Anything new. Yeah.
Yeah. For listeners, I personally have, like many, dealt with mental illness with, you know, people in my family dealing with that. And yeah, it can be difficult. There's been such great media awareness. I think a movie that stands out to me, I don't know if you've seen this, A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah.
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 I love that movie because I think it just gives people a better perspective into that type of situation and how it's not only difficult for the person dealing with it, but how it affects the family as well.
Right, and anyone who loves them, because as with my brother's case, and he has given me carte blanche to talk about this, I make it a rule to never, never disclose people's health issues, friends' health issues, and I have full, you know, my brother was like, yeah, tell anybody you want, you know, especially if it's going to help the situation. So just want to let everybody know that I have his full consent. Otherwise, I would not be speaking about it. But he was kind of textbook, you know, with the, quote, psychotic break. And so, you know, there was an incident that set everything off, although he had been having very severe drug problems before the, quote, psychotic break, unquote. He was a heroin addict and went through a lot of drug problems and dropping out of school, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it brings you to wonder, was he sensing some psychotic things and this was his way of self-medicating, or were the drugs one of the straws that broke the camel's back, so to speak, where, you know, did that spin him into full-blown psychosis? I mean, we don't know. You know, and I don't know that anybody knows the answers to these questions yet, but in retrospect, I can't help but question all of this.
Mm.
But he's amazing, and he's doing quite well, I have to say.
That's so good. Do you feel like treatment for it has gotten better over the years for schizophrenia? Or?
Yes, I do. I do feel, though, however, Jonathan, that we have a one-sided approach to it. I think it's, I mean, and we need this. Trust me, I do not want this to go away. I'm glad it's in place, but I think we need more. What I mean by one-sided is it's a lot of just medication.
Yeah.
And it's essential, but I remember when he first got very ill, they put him in a, you know, one of those institutions, and it's no longer functioning as such, but it was called Greystone. And it's got quite a history, and it started out to be a very benevolent place, but when he got in there and we'd go to visit him, really people were just zombied out and over-medicated.
Yeah.
And I understand, I'm not blaming anybody. The staff is overworked, and if somebody's kind of starting to get a little out of control, they only have X number of people, things are underfunded, and so you have to medicate. I'm not blaming anybody, really I'm not. But still, the whole approach has been very traditional medicine, which is great, but I think there's a whole other branch that needs to be looked at.
That's Joyce Cooling in conversation with Jonathan Linden. Joyce has a new CD out. It's called Living Out Loud. It's an EP, rather, and it just came out September 20th. It's available on Apple Music, Amazon, and Bandcamp. You can hear Shout each and every week during KBC Arts. Thank you so much for listening and being a listening contributing member. We'll have the information for you on how you can do that in just a few moments. I'm David Fleming, joined by Ben Stewart. And as Benjaphonic, he's just released an EP called We Stole Hip Hop. The tie-in here is the gospel music. And so while Benjaphonic is quite the character, speaking with Ben here, because this tune, Ain't Nothing Wrong, which is what we're about to go into,
right.
It's very historically accurate, and not only is a cool tune something that you can just move to and groove to and whatever, but it's historically accurate as far as musical lineage and the tree from which it comes.
Yeah, what I wanted to explain to people was that blues music is a root of pretty much all popular music. And blues music came from field music. It came primarily from gospel music or church music that then made its way into the field, which then made its way into the troubadours of the day, which is the blues player. And that then permeated modern music, which went from country to western to rock and roll to R&B, and it also influenced jazz and all the way up into hip-hop. And so that's kind of what I wanted to tell the story of.
And it's right there in a fun way. I mean, you could listen to it and just enjoy it. It's as simple as that. But it's not too hard to, learn something new every day. It's what we're doing here at KBCR. We are in our fall membership campaign. And you can have a copy of this EP with a pledge of $60 or more. And that's with a one-time gift of $60 or maybe with a sustaining membership of just $5 a month. Again, that's at least $60, whatever's comfortable in your budget. But you probably know right now that you have an additional $5 a month. You can contact us one of two ways.
You can either get a hold of the station via telephone, which is 877-512-8843, or you can go to kvcrnews.org and you can donate online.
And we will have that number and website again in just a few moments. In the meantime, Ain't Nothing Wrong. This is from Benjaphonic's We Stole Hip Hop.
And it's way down south, where the Mississippi River starts to open its mouth. A story that was seasoned from the pain of the plow. Cut so hard and deep that we're still feeling it now. If you ain't got nothing, then there's nothing to lose. You take that empty feeling and you call it the blues. With songs about crossroads and selling you soul, that would give birth to hip-hop and rock and roll. Ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of gospel in the song. Your head to your shoes. One part gospel, the other part soul. And a boom bat beat, and it never gets old. You wouldn't have jazz if there wasn't the blues. You wouldn't have country or
Ain't Nothing Wrong. This is from Benjaphonics' We Stole Hip Hop EP. It's out now, and you can get a copy of this with a pledge of $60, whether it's a one-time gift or sustaining membership of $5 a month.
Awesome, and you can do that through kvcrnews.org or on the telephone at 877-512-8843.
And now another EP just out, Joyce Cooling, jazz guitarist. The EP is called Living Out Loud.
Jump back more into some of your music stuff. I want to learn a little bit more of not just what inspired you for this music, but like what got you into jazz to begin with.
You know, really, it's like jazz bit me. I think I have always loved groove stuff, you know, like James Brown and West African music and Cuban rhythms and Brazilian rhythms and things like that. And of course, R&B and, you know, anything funky I've always loved, and the Meters and, you know, the whole Louisiana thing. But then when I heard all this sophisticated harmony in jazz, I always loved the harmony in classical music, like especially, I always loved Ravel since I was a kid, and, you know, the impressionistic stuff and Stravinsky later on. And I always enjoyed, you know, the harmonic sophistication. And with harmonic sophistication comes melodic sophistication. So then I go, well, geez, I love this too, and I love groove, and I always love to dance. And so I had all these things that I loved in music, and then when I heard jazz, it kind of brought a lot of those things that I loved together.
Yeah.
It had harmonic sophistication, it had great grooves, it had, you know, just had a lot of what I was looking for. So it was like, whoa.
Yeah, it all kind of just clicked. Yeah.
Yeah, same with Brazilian music. Did the same thing. These beautiful harmonies with this great funky, you know, grooves happening. And then, as I mentioned, with harmonic sophistication, when you change keys or modulate within a song, your melody can then leap to these unexpected places. Whereas if you stay in one key, which I would say most of the world's music does stay in one key.
Yeah.
Then your melody can only go within that key. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of restricts the melody. But don't get me wrong, I love music from all over the world. when I have a harmonic nut to fill, then I go back to you know, classical or jazz or Brazilian music.
Yeah, I mean, this is especially like visible in a lot of your older pieces, and I'm sure it might be in this new EP. Is you have definitely some African influence. I know with Global Cooling, there was quite a few pieces that, like, you brought in the drums and things like that. And it had a very, different vibe to it. And is there any of that kind of going on in these new songs as well, or?
There is, and we're never, like, authentic anything, meaning, like, authentic West African influences or authentic Brazilian. But there are just little shades of these things, and I always like doing that, sort of borrowing from the things that I love about different kinds of music and then integrating them into, you know, our own sound, you know, so it's never like a samba or we're doing, you know, a baião or a this or that. You can hear those influences in there, but it's not the authentic rhythm.
You know
what I mean? We've borrowed.
Thank you.
So you were talking about like all these different influences. Were there any other like specific artists that you can think of that were have really been inspirational for you?
Got a couple hours. really, the list is long and lengthy. I'm kind of someone who, and I still am, I don't know, I still do this. I jump around. I get on these tracks, you know, these courses, and for a while I'm like a Brahms freak, and I'm just imbibing Brahms, and then I'll, Wes Montgomery was always huge for me, and then I mentioned James Brown. Sometimes I'll go on these James Brown binges, and then I'll go on, I like this band, they were popular maybe, I mean, they still are, but I first got turned on to maybe, you know, 6 years ago or 8 years ago, or and, you know, they're doing like Euro electronica stuff, and I love some of that too.
Oh, wow.
So I'll kind of get into that. And
What is their name?
Some chill stuff. Empire of the Sun.
Empire of the
Sun,
yeah.
I like a couple of their tunes a lot.
Yeah, they have really good stuff. Like, I know, like, Walking on the Sun, right? Or
Yeah. I enjoy some of their tunes. You know, a couple of them really stood out to me. And so I just would, like, grab those few tunes and play them a bunch. And there's so many, like, new bands. I go to hear, I want to hear what not just my peers are doing. I want to hear what's new going on. So I'm often in the clubs checking out bands I've never heard of just to see what they're doing.
Wow.
And, of course, right now I'm, like, drawing a blank, but there were a ton of new groups. Oh, and I was just back east in the southeast with some family members, you know, whose kids, you know, I always ask them. I have a list on my phone, you know, of stuff to check out. Like, okay, what are you guys listening to? And if something comes on and, say, the overhead of, you know, we're in a store or in a restaurant or something, I go, hey, do you guys like this? And no. And I sort of take polls and, you know, so I have a list of like maybe 17 new bands that I haven't heard to check out.
That's
so
really cool.
I'm always doing that.
So
I don't want to get stodgy. You know what I mean? I don't want to just listen to, like, I want to keep fresh, you know?
Yeah, so you really try to get a wide variety of genres that you're kind of listening to.
Playlist, it is all over the map. Yeah,
that's really cool. Like, personally, I'm really into electronic music, like house music, and
love it.
Yeah, and so I mean, there's a lot of good stuff, like, especially with house, you get a lot of influences, like soul influences, and there, a lot of them have instrumental parts in them as well. So yeah,
and there's some DJs that I love. A lot of musicians go, oh, they're not playing, they're just stealing from us. Well, a lot of them are, but then you get a couple who are really creative, and I love their mixes, and I love what they're doing, and I love their segues, and to me, they're a musician. So I'm not, you know, anti-DJ. I'll go out and hear DJs.
That's so cool.
Who do you like? Who's like your favorite? Give me some house bands.
Oh, geez.
Some EDM.
You know, like, I'm going to have to look at this. I think I personally kind of, I use Spotify a lot, and I'll just go out and kind of just find random ones that, like, kind of just stick out to me. Like, there's this guy, his name is Jerfaj.
Oh,
you know him?
Heard of him.
Yeah,
of him.
No.
I can't say I know. No, I don't.
Have you heard of Satin Jackets?
Satin Jackets. I don't know that I've heard that one, but I'm writing it down. Nice name.
Have you ever heard of Jay Wolf?
Yep.
Yeah. And no, he's really good. They're really good. Yeah, that's just a few. But yeah, there's some really good ones that I just like. It's good driving music for me.
It is. And if you, and as I mentioned, I like to dance, you know, my own way. So sometimes, you know, I just like putting on EDM. And when a band is really good, a lot of people, too, get down on the whole loop thing, you know, and using loops and all that. I don't, because I know what musicians mean. You know, you study your whole life to play an instrument, and it takes just hours and hours. And then you hear, you know, someone just copping others' loops, and, you know,
yeah,
just like, geez Louise, don't you play anything? You know, I understand that feeling. But, and some of it is like that to me. It's kind of mechanical.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of it to me that I really love. And as someone who, you know, like, you put on something to dance, some of these tracks take you places. The way they, you know, break down the groove, and the way they bring things in and stuff like that, it makes for not only interesting listening, but also interesting dancing, because then your moves change, you know. Like, I can't explain it, but there's a lot of it I really do like. I know I'm guilty, and a lot of my musician friends would want to, you know, knock me out for saying that, but I actually do.
Was there, like, some specific electronic artists that you can think of off the top of your head?
There's a guy from Israel. His name is Eldad Zitrin.
Okay.
E-L-D-A-D, and then Zitrin, Z-I-T-R-I-N. I wouldn't call it EDM per se. He's a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah.
He plays everything, and he's really good. And the song that I love is so beautiful. It's called I Wish I Knew You.
For your EP release, by the way, how will people be able to get it? Will it just be on, like, iTunes?
It's going to be a digital release only, at least for now. You know, we'll see. I mean, Jonathan, we might release this, and we've been gone for so long, people might not even know who the hell we are anymore. You know, out
yeah.
of sight, out of mind. It happens. So you were asking me, how will it be available? Yes, you know, through all the digital channels, I hope, you know, if they'll have us. We won't press this time. And unless you're going on tour, I don't think people really buy CDs anymore.
No, yeah.
I don't. I don't. I buy downloads. I purchase them. You know, I pay for my downloads because I know what the musicians are going through.
Yeah.
So that's how I get my music. That way you can kind of construct your own playlist, and you have the songs that you love, and you can rotate them, and you can make different playlists. So I don't buy CDs anymore. Is that awful or what?
No, I mean, I don't either. I might be a part of the problem, but I use Spotify a lot. Unfortunately, it is not good for the artists in terms of they aren't making as much money, but it is good in terms of people do have access to all different kinds of music now that they probably wouldn't have in the past. Yeah.
True. Yeah, no, you can't make money making CDs. You have to do it for the love of it. There is no money in it anymore.
Do you know, like, with Spotify, I know you're personally on Spotify, it's less than a cent a play or something like that, correct?
Oh my God, a fraction of a fraction of a fraction.
Wow. Have you ever gotten a check from Spotify?
Oh God.
It was like,
laughable.
Like,
you know, the checks.
Like 13 cents?
Well, I think Lady Gaga said this was at the height of her popularity, right? When she was just like everything to everyone, and she was all over everything. I think, don't quote me on this, I don't remember, but she was selling millions and millions and millions, and everybody was buying her. She was all over TV and everything. I think she got a check for like $137.
Wow. For her, like, online plays.
Yeah, I think it was from Spotify.
Wow.
Something like that. But like you say, it's where it's going. And I don't want to be quick to bash anyone or anything because I don't understand the implications yet. I don't understand the far-reaching consequences of these streaming platforms yet. So I'm going to withhold bashing anybody.
Yeah.
But I can say the truth of it. No, there's no money in it. No money that you can make a living on, not like the old days when you could actually sell CDs. Now, musicians, we've got to find another way to do things, and a lot of it is the live tour, but in this case, I'm opting not to do that this time. You know, I'm going to get warm and fuzzy for a second. When I go on Facebook, I'm amazed at how many people are still in touch with me and our music. Well, it sounds so corny, but it's an absolute honor. It really is. It shocks me. Because it's been so long, but people have really hung in there, and it's like, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Joyce, again, for taking some time to speak with us.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's been my pleasure. I really appreciate it, and you're helping us to get the word out there, so that's much appreciated, too, to you and the station.
Music and Conversation from Joyce Cooling and Jonathan Linden with that interview for this fundraising edition of KVC Arts. Thank you so much for joining us as a listener and hopefully as a listening contributing member. Joyce's disc, once again, it's only electronically available. It's called Living Out Loud. It came out September 20th, available on Apple Music, Amazon, and Bandcamp. Now, one of the things that we have going on with Benjaphonic, who is in studio as we speak, who also has an EP out, just out, it's called We Stole Hip Hop, and we heard a song earlier called Ain't Nothing Wrong, talking about the historical roots of gospel just permeating blues and therefore most other music from America. This next tune that we're about to go into, Rock Block Party, this is also something that you are really hitting historical, accurate marks here. You are a bald geek rapper. Okay, this
right.
is the character of Benjaphonic.
It's me.
And he's clueless, but yet at the same time, there's Ben Stewart starting this all, and you've been a fan of hip-hop since it was really starting to hit mainstream.
Yeah, that's true. And this song is about, you know, anyone who knows Benjaphonic, it's about how I used time travel to go back in time. And I went to a few of the early parties. August 11th, 1973, DJ Kool Herc throws the very first hip-hop dance party. And so I went there and visited. And then I went to Afrika Bambaataa. And, you know, the third of what we call the Holy Trinity of hip-hop, Grandmaster Flash. These are DJs that really set it off. And so I wanted to kind of give an homage, a tribute to them.
That's all inside of Rock Block Party from Benjaphonic's We Stole Hip-Hop, just out.
Party. Oh, rock, party, non-stop party, gonna take the party out into the streets. Oh, rock, party. Coast brought it with that G-Funk thing. Hoopies rolling low with their G-Funk swing. While up in the bay, bells were starting to ring, where Humpty, Tupac, and Hammer were king. The rock bands took it and they turned it around. They put a little metal in that hip-hop sound. And every culture sense has begun to expand upon the party that was started in the Bronx.
Rock, block, party, rock, block, party, rock, block, party.
Rock Block Party from Benjaphonics. We Stole Hip Hop, this EP just out, and we've also been hearing music from Joyce Cooling, her EP Living Out Loud that just came out September 20th. You're here with KVCR San Bernardino Riverside, and thanking Benjaphonics for joining us in studio.
Hey, you're welcome, David. And hey, I got a question. If you pledge right now, will you get supernatural psychic powers?
You would think that. At least I could tell that you're thinking it.
Yeah, okay, so it's not true. But what is true is that if you pledge right now, you can get Benjaphonics new CD, We Stole Hip Hop, if you go to kvcrnews.org, or if you call 877-512-8843. Bam!
Thanks for joining us here at KVCR. It's Benjaphonics in studio, also Ben Stewart. Ben, truly, thank you so much for joining us. And folks, come in now with a pledge of $60 or more, a one-time gift, or a $5 a month sustaining membership, what have you. But with a pledge of $60 or more in any fashion, you can get a copy of this disc. Just let us know when you make that pledge.